I'm going to be over in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. If you want to turn over with me, the last two verses of 1 Corinthians, the sixth chapter, 19 and 20. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? Ye are not your own. Did you get that? You are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Which are God's. Listen to the last part of that too. Which are God's. You are not your own. Which, and you belong to God if you're a Christian. Do you understand that? You belong to Him. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come with thanksgiving again one more time in my heart. I praise you for the opportunity to be in God's house one more time. I praise you for the opportunity to stand behind this desk, Lord. And Lord, as I asked you every week, Lord, I pray, Father, that you would get me out of the way, Lord. I pray that whatever's said and done here this morning, it would be for your glory, for your honor, and for your praise this morning, Lord. I want to put that out there right now, Father. And I want to thank you for that. In Jesus' name we ask, and amen. Amen. You will hear so many claim this ideology in today's world. You know what? It's my life. It's my body. I can do whatever I want to do with it. No one has a right to tell me what is right and what's wrong. If it feels good, do it. Do you not see that ideology out there? And why? I see it out there. I mean, and I'm not trying to put something out there that's never been preached before, and I know that. But you know what? If you cannot see that out there today, now what I read to you as far as scripture there a little bit ago, that is contrary to what the ideology is in this world. Am I right? Do I have to say it any more plainer? Can we put it out there any better than what it is right there? It is contrary to what the world tries to teach and what the world tries to put out there. You know what? This way of thinking has been prevalent throughout human history. It's not nothing new. It's very much in the forefront of what's going on in today. And you know what? I hope you realize, brothers, it's not no new way of thinking. It's not a new way of thinking. You know what? In Ecclesiastes 1:9, it states this. I like this verse of scripture here because it tells us so much. It says, the thing that has been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. There's not. There's not no new thing under the sun, no matter what we want to try to put out there. I understand that whenever we live in this world today, where technology makes stuff at our hands immediately, and you know what I'm talking about, our phones or computers, but I'm telling you what, when you get right down to the basis of what's going on, the ideology that the world tries to push us, there's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new. In other words, whatever has happened before will happen again, just as plain as I can say it. And you know what? Whatever has been done before will be done again. There's nothing new. What is so disturbing is that we don't seem to learn from our past mistakes. Can you say amen to that? We do not seem to learn from our past mistakes. You know, past cultures, past civilizations have followed these same paths, have followed these same ideologies, and guess what? A lot of them are no longer in existence today. Am I right? You just take a look at some of the great civilizations of the past, and they went down the same path, and I may have to tell you today, they're going down the same path the United States is headed down today. And they are no longer in existence, or if they are in existence, they're no more than just a blimp on human history. Amen? That's what they are. Winston Churchill once said this, those who fail to learn from history are what? Are doomed to repeat it. He once said that. This is after World War II was over with, was whenever he said this. And I believe that is so true today. We have failed to learn the lessons that God has been trying to teach us. We have failed to learn them. The Bible is also full of stories from Adam and Eve, clear up to the book of Revelation, where pride, where rebellion, self-will, and I will do it my way, were all repeated time after time after time. We can go through the Bible, and I'm going to say some examples of it here in just a minute. But you go down through the Bible, and you see time after time after time where this was repeated. And guess what happened? God dealt with it. God dealt with it. They never seemed to learn. They never seemed to learn the lessons. Every time God had dealt harshly with those who had committed these things. The only thing that God asked Adam and Eve to do, guess what? They did it. Am I right? He asked him, he said, you can eat of any other fruit. But he said, do not eat of this one tree. But guess what? They went ahead and did it. You know what it cost them? You know what? It cost them paradise. Amen? You know what? God asked Saul. He asked Saul, the King Saul, to utterly destroy the Amalek people. And you can think what you want to, but if you read, God had told him, and he told him why he wanted them to destroy them. He said, utterly destroy them. But guess what? He didn't listen. He didn't listen. And you know what it did? It cost him his kingdom. And one last thing, whenever Jesus was talking to the rich young ruler, and you know what? He told him, he said exactly what to do to have eternal life. He told him. But you know what? He didn't like what he heard. He didn't listen to him. And instead, he went away sorrowful. And it cost him heaven. Amen? I want to tell you something here this morning. Listen to me. Do not love pride. Do not love rebellion. Do not love all the things that Satan will blind us with today. Keep you from gaining heaven as your home one day. Jesus told this guy. He told him just exactly what he wanted him to do. But you know what? He didn't listen. Satan has blinded man's eyes to this way of thinking since Adam and Eve fell in the garden. He has blinded people's eyes, and I'm here to tell you today, he is still blinding people's eyes. And I'll just go one step further. I know I say this a good bit, but there are people that are sitting in churches today whose eyes are blinded. They are blinded. They cannot see. And I'm telling you, they're repeating the same mistakes as maybe the past generation or somebody else has repeated. And they're not listening. We talked about the Holy Spirit this morning. And we'll get, you know what? And it's right. Whenever the Holy Spirit is mentioned, I believe as Jeff had said, or somebody had said back here today, they said it's like you've got two heads or something's going on. Whenever you start talking about the Holy Spirit. You know what? Satan has blinded people's eyes. The world has embraced it, and they're running headlong towards it today. I'll tell you a story. This story was something supposedly that ABC News had on back in 1982. That's how long ago this story came out. I could not verify it. I tried it, but I think it is a good story. And I do not like saying stuff that I do not know that is true. So I'm not saying this is true, but they said ABC News had it. Some say they did, and somebody said they did. There was a piece of work, there was a piece of art. It was called modern art. And what this modern art was, they had a chair set up, and they had a shotgun affixed to this chair. And the shotgun was pointing back towards the chair. And what it was on a timer. And that shotgun was loaded, it was fully loaded, and they had this shotgun on a timer, and sometime within 100 years, that shotgun would go off. The artist who did it, whenever they said it, said that he did not even know when it would go off. And what they would do, people, they had it in a place, and people would come in and sit down in that chair, and they'd pay to sit down in that chair for 15 seconds. And like I say, I don't know whether this was true or not, but they said, ABC News supposedly had this on. I've tried to look it up, and I couldn't. But I'm telling you, here's the point. They said that people literally would stand in line to get in that chair for 15 seconds. What I read on it, they said that eventually it did go off, but it went off at night when nobody was there. And this was supposed to be for 100 years. You know what? You tell me there are people that are doing the same thing spiritually today. There are same people that would never sit in that chair. This old boy would never sit in that chair. There's no way. And there are people out there who would never sit in that chair, but who will take and play, and I say this, will play Russian roulette with their spirituality and go right on and keep going on till the day that they die and go out of this world and not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. You know what? I'll tell you what, I do not know, but I'll tell you what, it amazes me the things that people will do. The things that people will do and the full-heartedly do things sometimes. But I'll tell you, praise God. You know what? If you read Revelation 20, mankind's ultimate destruction will come because of pride, will come of rebellion, and will come because, you know what? They had that same mindset that they were going to do it their way. What happens in Revelation 20? You know what happens. It's after the millennium's over. Satan has been bound for 1,000 years. The world has been at peace for 1,000 years. But once he is loosed, he goes about deceiving the nations, and it said they will come against the holy city, New Jerusalem, as the sands of the sea, to come up against it to try to destroy it. And guess what? God rains down fire out of heaven and destroys them all. And then you know what he does with Satan, the great deceiver? He puts him, casts him into the lake of fire to burn forever and ever and ever. You see, he's blinding people's eyes today. He's blind, and he's tied up for a while. Whenever he's loosed again, he blinds their eyes again, and they fall right back into the same trap because of what he does. Listen, what is so disconcerting to me, I'll tell you this morning, what is so disconcerting to me today is not just the world believing that, but like I told you earlier, so many in the churches today are following the same philosophy, following the same ideology, and they're going head first down that path towards it also. And that's so disconcerting to me. And it's so that I can't even believe it. We talked about it and talked about it, how that God's Word needs to be preached. There is coming a divide. We said this earlier in class. I'm just repeating something that we said earlier. There's coming a divide in churches. We can see it. There are going to be those that are going to stand on God's Word and stand against certain things and against certain ideologies and against certain principles. And those people are going to be the ones that are considered wrong. They're going to be considered the ones that you know what? That have no love, that are intolerant. And I could go on and on preaching about how that's going to be. But that's the way that it's coming. It's coming down to that. If God does not come back, if Jesus does not send His Son, Jesus, to get His church, that's what it's coming down to. It is true that, you know what, that whatever you want to do, God never forces a man or a woman to do what they don't want to do. Amen? God will never force a man or woman to do what he doesn't want to do. He never sets a limit on man's freedom. Never has. But here's the rub. Here's the rub against that. You must give an account to God for everything that you and I do. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We will give an account for everything that we do. Romans 14:12. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Raise your hands here this morning. That's you. Everybody that raised their hands here, everybody out here today, you are going to give an account to God for what you've done in this body. All of us will. It is no ifs, ands, or buts. Galatians 6:7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's why Jesus asked this question in Matthew 16:26. What good will it be for a man if he gains, listen, the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? Listen, you couldn't afford to give what Jesus Christ gave on the cross. Do you understand that? You don't have enough. There's not enough money in this world for you to take and pay your way into heaven. You just can't do it. That's why Jesus Christ died on the cross. That's why Jesus Christ paid the price so you won't have to. Your soul is valuable. Do you know that? Your soul is valuable. Your soul is eternal. It existence is not terminated when the body dies. Whenever you pass away, whenever you're laying in that casket, your soul is living on. We all know that, right? A soul is eternal. And you know what? Jesus Christ has paid the price whether you're lost or saved here this morning. Amen. He paid the price whether you are lost or whether you're saved. And all God asks is that we turn over our self-will. All He asks is that we take our self-will and, you know, put it into His will for our lives. That's all that He asks out of you and I. And you know what? That's all that He asked. And you know what? Why is that so hard sometimes for us? Why is it so hard for you and I to turn our self-will, what we are, and give it to a God that loves us enough and let His way be put into our lives? You know what? The Greek word used for temple here, and I like this right here. It means a sanctuary or a shrine. So whenever you see that word, know ye not that your body is the sanctuary? It is the shrine. Listen to that. The shrine of the Holy Ghost. Do you get that? What do you think of whenever I talk to you about a shrine or a sanctuary? What do you think about that? What do you think about? You think of something that's glorious, that's kept perfect, right? We think about that, don't we? That's kept the way that they want to keep these things really nice when we think about these shrines and these sanctuaries. It's a place where we worship. It's a place where God is honored. It's a place where, you know what, the Holy Spirit would come and dwell in. Am I right on that? You know what? A place where the Holy Spirit should dwell and be welcome all the time. Listen to this. The Bible repeatedly teaches this. God isn't here. It ain't church. Amen? If God isn't here, you're not worshiping. If God isn't here, you're wasting your time. And I'm talking about not just in this building. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about in the shrine. I'm talking about in the temple. Think about that for a minute. You are the sanctuary. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. There's new meaning. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. Does it not bring new meaning to you? Does it not say something to you whenever He's telling us, you know what? That what know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? It is the sanctuary. It is the shrine of the Holy Ghost. Does it not speak to us? Man, it should. It should speak to us. The most important thing that we can have in worship and prayer and testimony is God in our midst. Amen. I don't know about you, but praise God this morning. Whenever the Holy Spirit is in me and stirring my heart and soul, it makes me want to praise Him. It makes me want to love Him more. It makes me want to do more for Him. If you are saved, your body is a sanctuary and a shrine of the Holy Ghost. I comprehend that for a little bit. Just let that soak into our mind for a minute. If you are saved, the Holy Ghost is the sanctuary of the Holy Ghost. Your body is this temple. Which is it? Every born-again believer. Do you believe that this morning? Every Christian possesses the Holy Spirit. Every Christian possesses it. You know what? It's absurd and it's also arrogant to believe that you can be saved and not have the Holy Spirit in your life. Amen or oh my. That's a commentary. Listen, there's no such thing as being a child of God without the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, but ye are not in the flesh, get this, but in the Spirit. But if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man, now get this, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. He is none of His. So how can we say that we are a Christian and never experience the Holy Ghost and don't feel it in our lives? It's not possible. It's not possible. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Amen. Jesus died on the cross, listen, to save us from sin. The moment we believe we are saved, the moment that we believe we are saved, the soul is redeemed, the body will be redeemed at what? The first resurrection. Praise God. You know what? Don't worry about these old temples of flesh. They're going to fall off of us one day. Yes, they are the sanctuary of the Holy Spirit right now. But one of these days, whenever we die, this Spirit's going to leave this old body. It's going to go back to the dust. And one day, praise God, I believe this as well as I'm standing here. We are going to be resurrected a new body one of these days. Praise the Lord for that. We don't have to worry, but praise God right now. The soul, the spirit, the body belong to the one who purchased it with His blood. Amen? That's who it belongs to. It doesn't belong to you. If you're saved here this morning, it belongs to Jesus Christ. That's who it belongs to. Romans 14:8-9. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. Amen. That's who we belong to. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of what? Of the dead and of the living. I'm telling you here this morning, when Jesus Christ saved me, I just began to live. I wasn't no longer amongst the dead. Amen. Praise God this morning. And because God made a way, ye are not on your, you are not your own. Because of that, I can't emphasize that enough this morning. You are not your own. No matter what, you are not your own. No matter what this world wants to spout out. No matter what it tries to spout out. No matter the ideology. No matter the rhetoric that it tries to spit out. Listen to me. No matter what the president's philosophy may be. No matter what Uncle Sam or Aunt Sally wants to tell you. Listen to me. The Bible will stand true. Psalms 2, 1 and 4. And I did this in NIV because I like the way it says this. Why do the nations conspire and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their chains and throw off their shackles. And you see what God does in verse 4? The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. You know what? They can say what they want to. They can try to put out there what they want to say, and God in heaven is looking down and laughing at them because He know what? Guess who's in control? Guess who is in control? No matter what they think, no matter what they say, God is still in control. God's Word tells us, tells you and I that we are not our own. Our soul is valuable. Yes, it is valuable this morning because it cost, and it cost, and it was redeemed to us. 1 Corinthians 6:20, you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify, honor God with your bodies. How simple, how much more simple could that be? If you are bought with that price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ, listen to me. If you are bought with that price, all He asks us to do is glorify Him with our body. How much simpler can that be? Paul's message was always Calvary. That's what it was. You know, he always preached Calvary. And you know, and praise God, you know what? Calvary should always be preached because Calvary is the means of our salvation. Amen? Paul knew the cost that it brought salvation to his life. He knew it. In 1 Corinthians 2:2, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Jesus Himself said this in Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. Jesus came and He died for every living human being on this planet. Now, every living human being be saved? No. No, they won't because not everyone's going to accept the message. But praise God, you're here today, you're hearing it, you have the opportunity to accept it today. God loved us so much that He gave us Jesus. And Jesus loved us so much that He was willing to go to the cross. Praise God, He was willing to go to the cross. Willingly. We should love Him and we should be thankful. I'll tell you what. We should let Him have preeminence in everything that we do in our lives. In these bodies, whatever we do, whatever we're about, we should let Him have preeminence in it. We should let Him do that. But we should never take advantage of this liberty. You know what? Yes, we are saved by grace. But don't ever take advantage of that. You understand what I'm saying? 1 Corinthians 6:12, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. You can do anything that you want, but not everything is right. Not everything is expedient. Like I told you, you have freedom. You have freedoms. You do. But praise God, you know what? We need to make sure that we don't take and abuse those freedoms. God lays claim to the believer's minds. He does. God lays claim to our minds and our souls. The right of possession belongs to Christ. Amen? For what He done on the cross, the right of possession of your body, of your mind, of your soul, belongs to Jesus Christ. Every act of sin committed by the believer, you know what? Is committed in the sanctuary. You know what I told you? We are the sanctuary, we are the temple of God, and if you commit sin, you're committing it in the sanctuary. Whether it be fornication, Adultery, drunkenness, whether it be gluttony. And you know, those things are pretty hard to swallow, isn't it, for a believer to do. What was Paul talking to? He was talking to the Corinthian church because the Corinthian church was doing some of this stuff and he was trying to correct them. And that's why he's saying what he did. Lying, gossiping, backbiting. Remember, when God set forth the design for the tabernacle, remember what he did? If you remember back when he set forth the design for the tabernacle, he wanted everything to be perfect and pure in that tabernacle, did he not? Why? Because he was not going to come down and dwell in something that was not pure. He was not going to come down and dwell in anything that was not right. Now, what makes us think for a minute? What makes us think for a minute? That if things aren't cluttered, if things are cluttered up in here, if things aren't right in here, if we are doing what he wants us to do, that he's going to come and dwell in this. He's not going to do it. He's not going to do it. He won't do it. He can't do it. Not being a just and righteous God, he cannot send his spirit down here to dwell in something like this. He will not do it. Why? Because he never filled it with unclean or impure things. That's why right there. If there's anything unclean or unfit in this sanctuary, brother, he will not dwell here. It says, present your body a living sacrifice, acceptable unto who? Dave and Jamie? Doesn't say that, does it? Does it say unto the Drift Run Church? It doesn't say that either. It doesn't say unto the elders or the board members. That's not who we are, you know, sacrifice acceptable unto us. It says unto God, which is your reasonable service. You think, well, you know what? I come to church. I've just made this great effort today. Well, praise God you're here today. But listen to me. You come to church today. You come to church tonight. You come to church on Wednesday night. That's just a reasonable service. You understand that? That's just reasonable service. That's not nothing else. You know what? Some people believe this, that God is obligated to them. You understand that? That God is obligated to them. You know something right now, folks? I'll tell you right now, we should be obligated to God. We should be above and beyond everything. We should feel that we are blessed beyond measure. It is a privilege to be a Christian. Do you understand that this morning? It is a privilege to be able to say, listen, I am a child of God this morning. Now, sometimes I wonder if we understand what kind of a privilege it is. It isn't God's privilege to have us. Oh my goodness. He could get somebody else up there to preach in a heartbeat. You understand that? It isn't a privilege for Dave Long it isn't God's privilege to have Dave Long as a preacher. Can I just tell you that? It's not way, shape, or form. And it's not a privilege to have you as a Christian sitting in here today, God's eyes. I'm not saying I love having you in church. I hope you understand what I'm saying. The privilege should be, you should feel privileged to be able to call yourself a Christian today. Praise God this morning. I'll tell you what, I am thankful that God, you know what, one day seen fit to have mercy on an old sinner like me, let me get on my knees and accept him into my heart. He kept wooing me. He didn't have to keep on doing that. But praise God he did. He didn't have to save me. You know what I could have done? But praise God, Jesus Christ come in my heart. The Spirit is there. And you know what? I considered a privilege this morning to stand up and tell you. Stand up and tell you that Jesus Christ lives in my heart. I say I count it a privilege to say to you that know ye not that this body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Now, if you're here this morning and you know Jesus Christ, yours is too. Remember, you are not your own. I don't believe a believer should sign a pledge saying, I don't believe this. I don't believe a believer should sign a pledge saying they will mind all the rules and abide by all the regulations. I don't believe that they should sign a stipulation that says they will attend church regularly, that they will support the church in works and helping around the church, that they will support it financially, that they will read God's faithful, that they will pray for other people. I don't believe that a Christian should have to sign anything like that. But you know what I do believe? That if you are bought by the blood, if you are saved, you'll want to do it because why? Because you love Jesus Christ. Not because you're obligated to anything. Praise God. If you're here this morning, I hope you're here this morning because you love Jesus. I hope if you're here this morning, you feel as privileged, you feel that, you know what, that you know what, Jesus Christ is living in your heart, and that should be enough to make you want to shout this morning. Should make us be a one. They do these things because they love Jesus, not because you're made to. I've used this example quite a bit. I love my wife with everything I got, with everything that I've got on this earth. I love my wife. But you know what? I want her to love me because she loves me, not because she has to love me. And you know what? Jesus Christ is the same way. He went and made a sacrifice for you. And He wants you to love Him because you love Him, not because you're made to do anything, not because you should do anything, because you love Him. That's why He wants you to do it. Praise God this morning. I'll tell you what. Do you love Him this morning? Do you truly and honestly love Jesus Christ? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. Remember that. Mark it in yellow if you have to, but remember it. That is, you are no, once you accept Jesus in your heart, you are not your own then. You belong to Him. For you are bought with a price. The price of Jesus Christ dying on the cross. The blood that was sacrificed. What a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Man, how much simpler can it? So the next time they try to tell you, but you know what? It's your body. You do with it what you want to. That's not the way the Bible says. Especially if you're a Christian. Especially if you're a Christian. It's not the way it is. Praise God. You mind what the Spirit, you mind what God wants you to do. They come and give a song.